the letter Jude. And I'll start off by reading the three verses there, Jude verses 17 through 19. Jude verses 17 through 19. And I'd just like to remind you, where is he? Oh, he's gone. I was just going to remind Daywalker that this is a Bible study, and if he would be so kind as to listen to the teaching. Okay, and that's what we would like for you to do. And after the study, you can ask questions about what is being taught. Let's go on with Jude, verses 17 through 19. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Okay, what you see there, for those who, I see some new faces in here, and just to let you know, I have an ongoing study of the letter Jude, and Jude wrote this letter to the kingdom saints of Israel. And in relation to the kingdom saints, they're saints who believed on Jesus Christ as taught by the 12 apostles of Israel. That's what the kingdom saints of Israel are. They were saints who believed on Christ in relation to the teaching of the 12 apostles of Israel. And Jude wrote to those Hebrew saints of the kingdom which was promised them. And look at what he says here in verse 3. For those who haven't been in here, let's look at verses 3 and 4 to see why this letter is written and the subject of the letter. Verse 3, why the letter was written. Verse 4, the subject of the letter. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom saints of Israel were a little flock of believers that the 12 apostles were over. And what it was, they were to believe on the teaching of the 12 apostles. And we're going to look at that into that point. But you see, it was a letter for them to earnestly contend for the faith. And why? Because certain men had crept into that group of believing Jews, those kingdom saints. Certain men had crept in, and those men had become part of that ministry, but they were against the will of God. They were apostate, and they proceeded to try to influence that group toward their apostasy, the certain men's apostasy. Now, Jude wrote this letter for those who believe to contend against that, to contend for the faith, because these guys were apostates. Now, the condemnation mentioned goes throughout the letter. From verse 5 on, you read about the associations of the condemnation that those certain men are associated with. Now, notice what they did. They turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a big thing for Israelites to not acknowledge Jesus Christ as their prophetic Savior and Messiah. The Messiah title is a Jewish thing, a Hebrew thing, but that was the context of this particular thing. He was the Messiah of Israel, and they were to acknowledge that he was in the God, one in the Godhead, and God, the one with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that he was the Messiah promised of prophecy. But these guys were against that and wielded that influence. And so what we have here is a letter based on that. Now, this letter, again, is in that set of nine letters at the end of the Bible. That set of nine writings at the end of the Bible. Hebrews through Revelation. Jude is part of that. So Jude being part of those nine letters, it is about the things for the future. See, here's what happened. We have the Old Testament, which was to Israel. Then you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which concerns the walk of Christ on earth. Then you have Acts, which shows the fall of Israel, the nation's rejection of Christ, and the establishment of God's new ministry in the middle of Acts. So from Acts 1 to 8, it's dealing with Israel alone. Then you get to Acts 9, and there's a whole new apostle, and whose first line of business is the Gentiles. Acts 9:15. That's Paul. Acts 9:15. God tells Ananias that Paul's first line of business is Gentiles. Something has changed. A new thing has been established. And a different apostle for a different purpose is brought in. Why? Because Israel rejected the ministry of Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When they stoned Stephen, that was the last person in the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, which was on Stephen, that they had to reject. And they rejected the Holy Spirit and stoned Stephen. And in Acts 9, God brings in a new apostleship. And from then on, in Acts, you see the excelling of Paul's ministry and a decrease in things talked about in the 12th ministry. Because God put that whole ministry aside. And now he started the dispensation of his grace with Paul's apostleship. That's what's going on now. The dispensation of grace to Gentiles. After we, the body of Christ, are caught up, then these last nine writings, Hebrews through Revelation, will be the doctrine on earth. They will be about Israel and their getting the tribulation and kingdom, like prophesied. We're not under prophecy, we are under mystery given Paul. Now, that's just some background. We can talk more about it later if you like some more background on that. But let's get into the study. So, Jude said, we looked up there where Bible reader posted, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken. He's talking to the beloved of that group. Remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's an important point in knowing who is being addressed. Now they're to remember the words spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the context of that. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 22. John chapter 5, verse 22. John chapter 5. Verse 22. And thank you, Bible reader, for posting for us, brother. We appreciate it. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Put up verse 6 also. Verse 5. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And go to verse 23. I'm sorry. Verse 23. Verse 23. I should have told you both verses. I'm sorry about that. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. So that's the accord of Christ when he walked on earth in the Jewish lands ministering to the Jews. They were to believe on the Son because he was sent of the Father. That oneness in the Godhead is expressed in what Christ said here. They were to believe on the Son because he was sent of the Father which hath sent him. Now, let's go to John 13, verse 20. John 13, verse 20. Verily, verily, Jesus speaks again, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. God sent the Son. They were to believe on the Son, and the Son was to send others, and they as a nation were to receive those that Jesus sent. Whomsoever, Jesus says, whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So we know that the Bible calls the sent ones apostles. One who is sent by the Lord himself is called an apostle. Now, Jesus sent the 12. The 12 were sent by Jesus. Let's look at Matthew 10, verses 5 through 7, to see a dispensational point about God who sent Jesus and Jesus who sent the 12. Matthew 10, verses 5 through 7. This also shows a dispensational point about the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew 10, verses 5 through 7. And welcome in the room, you others who've come in, Watchful, Awesome Grace, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, Boogie Guy, Solid Ground, and Living Style, Grace and Living in Style, Grace and Peace to you all. Okay, Matthew 10, verses 5 through 7. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, nor enter any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven. What was the kingdom of heaven about? It was about heaven on earth. It was about the prophesied a plan for the Jews where they would be kings and priests on earth. And it would be on earth as it is in heaven. That was what the Jews who believed on Christ in that kingdom doctrine were to even pray. That kingdom of heaven would come to earth as prophesied. These things here, you notice here in the doctrine that Jesus sent, the Father sent Jesus, and Jesus sent the 12. The 12 are called apostles. Apostles mean sent ones, ones who are sent. And so we see here that was the case in Israel as Jesus ministered in Israel. He sent those 12 forth, and they were to preach the kingdom of heaven. And now the point about this is, as you see, that the subject of that preaching is not Gentiles, not people from other nations. It's to the people of the Jewish nation only. That was the dispensational accord of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus talked to probably two Gentiles. And those Gentiles, he used them as examples of faith toward the nation Israel. And those Gentiles first had to conform that they were dogs, and the children were first, and they were not worthy to be in the Lord's presence. They had to conform to the point that in Israel all nations should be blessed. If we can go into that, and if you'd like to talk about it, keep a note, and we'll talk about it after the study. But the cord in that walk in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was not to Gentiles. Those 12 were sent to the nation Israel. Jesus himself, in his earthly ministry, proclaimed that truth. Go to Matthew 15:24. Jesus himself proclaimed the subject of his ministry. Matthew 15:24. It says, Jesus answering to the Syrophoenician woman, one of the two Gentiles in which he talked to in his whole walk during that time he was walking and ministering on earth. He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus was sent of the Father. Who was he sent to walk on this earth and minister to? He was sent to walk on this earth and minister to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not people in New York, not people in Japan, not people in China, not people in anywhere, not people in Texas, you name it. It was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those countries not being around then, of course. But anyway, we could go into that. But anyway, the point is that was a specific doctrine and a specific direction for that doctrine in the Lord's ministry and in the 12's ministry. Okay? Now, the cord of that ministry of which Jude is speaking is the 12 of Israel. When Jude says, remember the words spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is a kingdom saint of the Jews speaking of the accord that comes from the teaching of the 12 apostles of Israel. And in relation to that, the things taught there are to the nation Israel and their kingdom purpose and plan of prophecy. Now, when you look at Jude and those last nine writings, that will be the doctrine on earth after we're caught up. Right now, God couldn't give Israel all of the things that he prophesied for them because they were a generation in rebellion against God. They were an evil and adulterous generation, seeking after signs, seeking after the religion of the flesh, and not trusting on the Lord in relation to his will for them. So what happened was he set that plan aside. God said he's going to do something with a kingdom for them on earth where they'll be kings and priests over the Gentiles. You better believe God's going to do that. But he couldn't do it back then because they rejected him. And he knew it. And he brought in a whole new dispensation. This dispensation of grace for Gentiles. He gave it to Paul so that we can know his present will. But when we are caught up, after we are caught up in the air, the tribulation will be the time of Jacob's trouble. It will be for Israel to be molded to be that nation. And the time of wrath will be a time where that nation will be purged and molded to be the nation that God wanted them to be. They will have to go through wrath. They will be under a whole different dispensational purpose. But now God has the dispensation of grace. So when you look at Hebrews through Revelation, it's the doctrine of the future. It's where God left off with Israel back in Acts. And it's where he continues with them after he gets through with the Gentile body to be caught up. Where a body where there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. Where in this present dispensation, if a Jew wants to be saved, he or she has to come to God the way that is prescribed for the Gentiles given to Paul. And we'll get more into that. But Hebrews through Revelation is the future doctrine. It leaves off, it takes up from where God left off with the Jews in Acts. And that doctrine of Jude is one of those Hebrew through Revelation letters. So to get a grip on some of the things related to the apostleship and who they're to listen to, let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, and let me see what verses I want to read that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter, I'm sorry, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and read verses 1, 2, and 3. Who is Hebrews written to? Is that a hard question? Is that something that should cause your brain to go into overdrive? Who is Hebrews? Who is the letter to the Hebrews written to? It's a no-brainer. It's written to the Hebrews. That's the first letter that is of that context for the tribulation to come. It's the doctrine of the future. Let's go there and read Hebrews 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Hebrews is the first in that doctrine of the future, tribulation doctrine to the Jews. They'll be in great tribulation. They'll have to earnestly contend for the faith. They'll be in a terrible time where there'll be terrible cataclysms on earth toward all mankind. There'll be no dispensation of grace. This letter will be the doctrine for them in that tribulation. They will need to give earnest heed to the things that are written in the Word of God to them in this letter to the Hebrews. And miss the point there. What is to them, what at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto the Hebrews by them that heard him. That showed the apostleship's doctrine will be the accord again in that doctrine of the future and tribulation, Hebrews. The doctrine of the apostles, they are to listen to the writings, and those last nine letters will be their doctrine for the tribulation. And so we see that accord will stand in that time, those 12 apostles' ministry. And so let's go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And I'll give you the verse. Let me check it first. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm sorry. No, not 6. Okay, I'm sorry. That should be, let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and read verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and read verse 1. It says here in Hebrews 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Notice Jesus Christ is called here an apostle. Remember, he was sent of God, and he sent 12 apostles to the nation Israel to preach the kingdom. And when the nation rejected it, they couldn't go to the rest of the world and preach. And since the nation rejected God, they couldn't go to the rest of the world and preach. But God brought out a brand new apostle for the present purpose, Paul, and sent Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, with the new mystery message, the dispensation of grace. But here, they are under the, there to consider the Hebrews in that future tribulation time will be where the doctrine of God will be to them, will have to consider the apostle and high priest of their profession. Jesus Christ is the high priest of their profession. That should tell you a lot about what their profession will be. Of course, you can see from Exodus. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19, and you'll see verse 6. And verse 6, he says, "Ye shall be unto me," Exodus 19, verse 6. He says, "Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel." That promises of being priests and kings is to Israel. They will, the kings have to have someone to rule. Priests have to have someone to minister to. That is God's will on his earthly program, that Israel be a nation above all the other nations, and they will rule and minister to the rest of the nations, who will be under the leadership of Israel. Israel will be the channel of blessings to the rest of the nations on this earth after that tribulation. And that will be the accord of the kingdom purpose to the Jews, the prophetic purpose to the Jews. Now, so we see that that falls in line with that. Now, go to James. James is also, just like Hebrews is part of the Jew doctrine of the future, James is also part of the Jew doctrine to the future. Just like Hebrews is part of the tribulation doctrine of the future, as Jude is, so is James part of the tribulation doctrine of the future, as Jude is, to Israel. Now, let's go to James. James chapter 5. Excuse me. James chapter 5. And let's read verses, James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Now also, Bible reader, after you get through posting those, we'll post also the first letter of the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 1. Post that also, James chapter 1, verse 1. And you're doing an excellent job, brother. That's what this room is about, the Word of God, and we appreciate it. Okay, James chapter 10, verses 5, James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. "Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Now notice here, there are several things about the context of this letter, James. They were under the prophetic accord. As you see, they are under the things of prophecy. "My brethren, take my brethren the prophets." It's an example. The prophet is the example of the doctrine of James. Now notice in verse 11, it says, and in relation to the tribulation accord for the future, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." In that tribulation, the doctrine that Christ taught, the doctrine that Hebrews through Revelation teaches, will be endure to the end, and you shall be saved. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. That's what God taught the 12 about the tribulation, and that will be the doctrine on this earth during the tribulation. they'll be enduring to the end in order to get saved, and for salvation. Now, here's the point. In this dispensation of grace, we know that we now have the atonement. We right now have the atonement. We right now have complete salvation by what God gave Paul. It's different than James. Notice the accord of James, which is the accord of all the writings in Hebrews through Revelation. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now you know the subject of James. You know the subject of Hebrews. You know the subject of all those writings, those nine writings of Hebrews through Revelation. It is doctrine for the 12 tribes of Israel, which will be scattered abroad in that time of terrible tribulation. Theirs will be to endure, to endure in the example of the patience of Job, the great suffering that will be on them during the tribulation. And that will be the doctrine of the future. So we see the accord there is that they had seen the end of the Lord. As you see there in verse 11, they had seen the end of the Lord. And so it is that doctrine of the 12 apostles that is the accord of these writings. Now, let's go to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter is also a part of that doctrine of the future after the rapture of the church. Peter says, Simon Peter, let's see here. Simon Peter says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, strangers in those Gentile lands. Of course, it is the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Same people James wrote to, the Jews scattered. And so, notice, he is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me get another I don't have to go there. Let's see here. They had the things of their word, the things of the word of God to them was of prophecy. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Before you go there, I want to look at something here. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter, back to 1 Peter. I know I'm not making it easy, brother, but you're doing an excellent job. 1 Peter chapter 2. And you see, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, which shows that it stems from that Peter's ministry, the 12 apostles' ministry, is to the Israel who God promised that they would be kings and priests on this earth. Not to Gentiles, but to Israel. And that will be the tribulation accord of these last nine writings, the doctrine of the future on this earth, after we are caught up. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And you will see here, Peter speaking to the 12 tribes scattered abroad in those Gentile lands, the Jews scattered in those Gentile lands, calls them this: ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Remember what we read in Exodus? What God said to the children of Israel? Peter and his group were the recipients of that. They were a little flock, not enough to be a holy nation at that time, but they were a little flock of believers who God, who would be in that future kingdom, resurrected to be holy priesthood that God promised the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 19. And so they are the recipients, the Jews that receive those things, and Peter acknowledges that. And let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to the 21. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So here we see the accord of the prophetic plan of God. And in these scriptures, they notice what Peter says. Peter made known unto the little flock of believers the power and coming of the Lord Jesus. The 12 made known unto those saints of Israel the power and coming of the Lord Jesus. They were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And notice what Peter points to. They actually saw the glory of the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter says that was a magnificent, Peter states that as being something that was wonderful in the way he writes about it. But notice what is even more important than that. The word of prophecy, the words which they were of God, which they were to write and which the saints were to believe on, not just what Peter and the 12 had seen. More important was that they had a more sure word of prophecy to put their belief on. And notice that their accord is the word of prophecy, not the mystery given Paul, which is to us, but the word of prophecy, which is given to the Jews of Israel. And so they were to trust on the word, which makes the point that Jude makes. Remember the words that were spoken afore, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, even more important in relation to the doctrine there. Jude's doctrinal accord is the same as Peter's, and they had the word of prophecy, which those saints in Jude were to remember, and which is will be the doctrine of the tribulation. And notice, the prophecy is the accord of Peter. Again, not the mystery given Paul, which is to us today, but prophecy to Israel for the tribulation and the prophesied kingdom. Okay, now let's go on to 1 John 1 verses 1 through 4. 1 John 1 verses 1 through 4. We are looking at the doctrine of Hebrews through Revelation to see that it involves the words spoken of the apostles of the Lord Jesus, which were Peter and the 12. It is not what was given Paul. It is not to us. It is to Israel, 12 tribes of Israel, the ones who are given the will of God that is of prophecy. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Notice what John says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So there we see that Jesus Christ taught the 12. The 12 were sent as apostles to the nation Israel. And those believing, which were to remember, like Jude said, those believing, Jude urges them in Jude 17 to remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They had seen him. They heard him. They handled, they seen him with their eyes. They looked upon him. They their hands handled him who is the word of life. And they were the leaders of that little flock of believing Jews. There was a little flock then, and God had to put that whole nation aside. But there will be a remnant of believers in the tribulation who will have to remember that same will of God in the future. Now, they were, their accord, those last nine writings, Hebrews through Revelation, their accord was the things of prophecy taught them by the Lord Jesus. Now again, that is not the present will of God. That is not the present will of God. The present will of God that God wants you to be in is to know what he's doing. God, the present will of God that God wants you to know about, to understand and to walk in, does not involve the things of Hebrews through Revelation, does not involve the things of Genesis through Malachi. We are to know, you know, God has given us his full word. And we can learn the glory of God from his full word. But all the doctrine is not to us. God talks to specific groups of people. And in those times, in those scriptures we've looked at, he's talked to Israel. But in Acts 9, Paul was converted. His conversion, when Israel rejected him, stoned Stephen in Acts 7, in Acts 9, God brings up a whole new apostleship, different from the 12, because Israel rejected the 12's ministry. The 12 and their little flock of believing Jews died off in Jesus, and they died off in the promise, and they will be resurrected unto their promised kingdom. But God stopped dealing with that plan and brought in a whole new plan given to the Apostle Paul. Go to Romans 16:25. In Acts chapter 9, you see the conversion of the Apostle Paul, and God's present plan starts from then, from the middle of Acts. And it goes on from Romans through Philemon. You hear the 13 letters given Paul, you hear given of the Apostle Paul, are the doctrine for today's time. Go to Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25. You're doing a fine job, brother. We really appreciate it here. I think I'm saying that too much, but I'm just so glad that you're posting for us. It helps the saints see the word of God instead of just listening to me. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you, Paul is speaking here, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Paul was given a mystery kept secret since the world began. You'll read in Acts 3:21 that Peter was given prophecy which was known since the beginning of the world. Acts 3:21, Peter was given prophecy which was known from the beginning of the world. But Paul was given the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And so you see, the first accord of God is that you know the gospel given Paul to save your soul. The second accord of God is that you be grounded in the doctrine of the mystery given Paul, which Paul wrote of. And the third accord to establish you, the bottom one, is the rest of the Bible, the scriptures of the prophets, all the things known. It's good that you see what's first in your establishment, the gospel given Paul, how that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross and was risen, was not related, for us, it's not the prophetic accord of that he was raised on to sit on David's throne. To us, the accord of God of that gospel is that he rose from the dead for our sins. He rose from the dead. He died on the cross for our sins. And then he was buried and risen again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 is the my gospel that it first establishes you into God's present will. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and risen again the third day according to the scriptures. The died for our sins part is very important. And that's the part that the world's religious systems leave out. If you want something to believe on that is sure, you believe that Christ died for your sins. See, when he says that Christ died for our sins, that's a point on, do you take that personally? Do you believe that as the way you get to heaven? Do you believe that absolves you from all your sins like God has planned for you? Because that's what God says he did. He said Jesus died for our sins. Don't leave that out of your proclamation of your testimony. That is the only most important point, that he died for our sins, was buried, and risen as our Savior. Nothing else, nothing you do. It's all done by him. That's the gospel of the grace of God given Paul for the dispensation of God's grace. This message given Paul, he didn't learn it from the 12. He didn't learn it from anybody. Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ." The 12 saw Jesus walking on this earth. They saw him with their eyes. They handled him, the word of life. They walked and were taught his doctrine as he was on the earth, the Son of Man, the Son of God, God in the flesh, on this earth. And they were taught in Israel, the doctrine for Israel, on his walk in earth. Paul, in Acts chapter 9, gets this revelation, a mystery revealed to him, from the risen, glorified God in his blinding glory, Jesus Christ converts Paul. Paul gets his message from the risen, resurrected, glorious God, a different purpose in God, a different apostleship, a different message. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. He got it by revelation. Nobody taught, the 12 didn't teach Paul anything. No man taught Paul this. He got it from the Lord himself as an apostle for the present dispensation of grace. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Paul talks about this present will of God. Chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Paul wrote down the mystery of grace to the Gentiles. It's a mystery that, like he says in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What gospel? The my gospel of the grace of God given Paul. The gospel that says that Christ died for your sins, was buried and risen again. Is that all you're trusting in? Are you trusting in your works? Are you trusting in what you do? You'll never get to heaven that way. You'll only go to hell and burn in an eternity. And you'll be the most religious, burning person in hell for just trusting in water, trusting in your works, trusting in anything you do. The Bible says Christ did it all. Believe on that alone. That's the message of the dispensation of grace. That's the message that saves you and puts you into the body where there's no difference between Jew or Gentile. The present will of God, no favorite nation above every other nation. The present will of God, no covenants given to a nation, not under the law. The present will of God, a dispensation of grace to Gentiles, where they are made fellow heirs with the Jew who believes the same thing, that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and risen again. Okay, let's go to, from Paul, we in the dispensation of grace learn that what is to us is different than what is to the 12. From Paul, we in the dispensation of grace learn that what is to us is different than what is to the 12. Let's go to Romans 15:8. And Paul, it is Paul who tells us the direction of Christ's ministry on earth. Notice, when Christ walked on this earth, that's not the doctrine for you. Paul makes that clear in Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Paul, speaking in the Word of God as one who was given to write the Word of God, says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The fathers there are the Jewish patriarchs. He had come on this earth to confirm those promises made to the Jewish patriarchs. His ministry was not to you. It was to the circumcision. Romans 15:16. Paul says, as one who was given the Word of God from Jesus to write the Word of God, verse 16 says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Paul shows us that his ministry is different from the 12. 15:16. That was 15:16, Romans 15:16. Okay, and after that, we will go to Galatians 2:7-9. Paul tells us his ministry is distinct and different from the 12. Paul, our apostle, tells us his ministry is distinct and different from the 12. Galatians 2:7-9. But contrawise, Galatians 2:7-9. But contrawise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, my gospel, the gospel of the uncircumcision, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Peter was the leader of the 12. The gospel of the circumcision was unto him. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, Peter was the chief apostle of Israel. The same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Paul was given as the apostle of the Gentiles. Romans 11:13. Romans 11:13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And Galatians 2:9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen. The heathen is us-en. We are Gentiles, and God has planned for the Gentiles was given to Paul, and they unto the circumcision. The circumcision and this accord were the believing Israel, which was only a little flock at that time, which was God's purpose for them. They would die on out, and he would hold that whole plan back and give it to the Jews of the future tribulation, who believed on Christ in that future tribulation, who will believe on Christ. Right now, the doctrine of God is the my gospel given Paul, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery given Paul. Number one, my gospel. Number two, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That is the first means of your establishment. And number three, the rest of the Bible. First, be grounded and settled in what is given to Paul. It is the will of God for us today. And now, so we see here the accord of God in Paul's ministry, and we know there's a dispensation of God for Gentiles, and the mystery is that Christ is not in Israel, a favored nation at this time, only, this plan is not to Israel, a favored nation at all at this present time. It's not anything about Israel at this time. The plan of God today is Christ in Gentiles, the hope of glory. The mystery revealed of Paul, Christ in Gentiles, the hope of glory. In Gentiles, Colossians 1, 25 through 27. Colossians 1, 25 through 27 to end the class. Colossians 1, 25 through 27. This is the accord of God today in the dispensation of grace. Paul speaking, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. What fulfills the word of God? Those 13 letters have plenty of gifts about a dispensation of grace for Gentiles, about a body where Jews and Gentiles can be saved only by the way that is prescribed for the Gentiles, by dispensation of grace for Gentiles, by trusting that Christ died for our sins and was buried and risen again. That's the only way you can be saved. Not any way that was to Peter, not any way that to the 12. God's not doing that now. He's not working in that fashion now. He's working under the fashion he's given Paul. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, given to me for, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifested to his saints. What is that mystery? Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we know by these things we're to rightly divide the differences. When we read Hebrews through Revelation, it's not doctrine to us. We can learn about the future plan of God, the future doctrine of God on this earth. When we read Genesis through Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the first 8 chapters of Acts, that's not about things to us, but we can learn from it. If you want to know what's to you, it's in Romans through Philemon, and a dispensation of grace for Gentiles. That's God's will for you. And to get into God's will, you have to be saved from hell and damnation, which all mankind deserves. The way of that is the my gospel given Paul, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and is risen. Believe that alone, and you'll go to heaven with Christ in you, the hope of glory. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm ended the class for today. Later on, there's